Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Clarion Call broadcast. We are going to be setting up in just a moment, so bear with us, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Buckle up and take flight with Air Force on Atlanta's incredible radio.
Incredible.
WIWO
1570.
Come on, Tim, say it.
There is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, to break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. Oh, break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain.
That's it, there is power.
There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power in the name.
There is power,
there is power
in the name,
in the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break every chain. Come on, say to
break every chain.
There's an arm.
That was Tasha Cobb, Break Every Chain. You tuned in to the Clarion Call broadcast, and we broadcast to you here just outside Atlanta, Georgia, on the south side. And we thank for those of you who are joining us either live. This episode was first recorded on Sunday evening, or for those of you who are tuning in on Tuesday night on WIGO AM 1570, now called Atlanta's Incredible Radio. And our topic for the night is a little provocative. And for those of you who follow our show on Facebook, you saw I put a very provocative picture on there, not just to titillate the senses, but to kind of reinforce the topic for tonight's show. And that deals with sex, power, and love. What's going on here? Again, sex, power, and love, what's going on here? For those who are listening to the broadcast live, And again, the broadcast was originally aired on Sunday evening. There is a call-in line that we have available to you. It is 347-67 if you wish to do so. If you want to listen in by phone, again, live on Sunday, you can dial that same number and not say a thing. You can just listen in. You also are able to make a comment on that phone line if you so desire. You, of course, can listen to the show directly online, blogtalkradio.com/WRTSFM. And, of course, for those of you who are listening to WIVO AM 1570 on the Tuesday night broadcast, you can go to the website. If you are leaving the car, the website to listen is www.wigoam.com. Well, I tell you what spurred this show on in this topic is because the topic of sex comes up quite a bit in not only just in this world, but even in Christendom, in amongst the believers of Jesus Christ. Sex is a topic that if it's not spoken of, it's certainly on the minds of most people, because why? We are human beings, and what you will discover, if you have not discovered already, is that the sex drive is one of the strongest drives that a human being has, probably second only to the hunger drive. And depending what night it is, what time of day or night it is, it might supersede the drive to eat, even if you haven't had anything to eat in a long time. And I don't want to go off on a tangent in that little statement, but the realities are is that sex is on our minds, and it's on the minds of the population. And I think that one of the reasons why it's on the mind of everybody is because it is now more so than ever just hammered in our society that we are dealing with sex. It's all about sex. It's all about being sweet. You know, most advertisements I get today for if somebody's having an event, especially here in the area of Atlanta, and I'm sure they do that in other major cities, but oftentimes even the headline for the invitation is it's an event, you know, especially if you're over 25, the grown and sexy crowd. And we're instructed to wear things that are cosmopolitan and sexy attire. Well, let's take a look at that for just a second. Is there anything wrong with sex? Let's just first get that out in the open. Absolutely not. God made us creatures that are designed to have and enjoy sex. There are certain rules and regulations and stipulations. And really, it's only one. Be married. If it's a man, be married to a woman. If it's a woman, be married to a man. And married to one that is not married or is not currently married to someone else. That's it. Okay, those are the restrictions. Marry of the opposite sex and marry someone who's not already married to someone else. That's it. And if you follow that instruction, you can have all the sex you want. Yep. You're saying, brother, you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. Matter of fact, one of the scripture references I like to use is Hebrews 13:4. It says, marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Well, you're saying, brother, is that saying we can have as much sex as you want? Well, I mean, it's not saying that you can't. Paul also talks to us, and I'll find it in just a little bit, about it's rather better for someone to marry than to burn with passion. What he basically saying is that if you can't control your sex drive, if you know you're thinking about sex as much as you think about food or going to work or something like that, you need to be married. And really, I'm speaking to myself. Amen. Okay, let's be real. Okay, if you're single and you're not married and you're trying to live the Christian life, there are times, well, listen, it's a drive. And so now, clearly, myself, and I would think anybody else who's not married and find themselves, with too many nights of sweating it out and having to cold showers or other methods, which we won't get into right now, to relieve themselves of this drive, then now, yep, your focus has to be a little bit more seriously on marriage, lest you fall into temptation, which will cause you to sin. Then the labels I just gave you about being married to someone who is of the opposite sex and married to someone who's not married, if you're having sex outside those contexts, then we are now working outside the will of God and are committing sin. We are now delving in what we call, the Bible refers to as fornication, which really, in a broader sense, is any type of sexual immorality. But, you know, for this construct, we're going to, you know, focus on fornication as meaning having sex outside of marriage, outside of marriage if you're a single person, or having sex in a relationship with someone other than your spouse if you're already married. So this is it. And here's the thing. If you look amongst us, it's something that permeates our society. For example, if you look at some of the more popular shows that people watch. Now, I know there are going to be some people listening to this that are going to get mad with me right now. Matter of fact, I have friends and sisters. I'm not trying to slam anybody. Please, please, don't get mad with me. But let's just take, for example, one of the most popular shows in the marketplace right now, Scandals. I remember when I first kind of saw the preview for Scandal, obviously as a man, it was very enticing to say, I'm going to watch a program with Miss Kerry Washington, who now is happily married. Congrats to her and her husband. But, you know, that was very enticing to watch her because, you know, she was sweet, well-dressed, and, you know, it had that intrigue and mystery being involved of her being kind of the gatekeeper when any scandal would break out in the White House and high offices of government, which we can just look at any headlines over the last, well, really for eons, but especially over the last, you know, 15 years or so, or 20 years, we have seen scandals become rampant in government as people like, I guess her name is Olivia Pope, who I guess she's like a fixer of these scandals. Well, it looks like we have a lot of people that need a fixer like that. But anyway, getting back to the point, if you look at scandals, you know, we look at Olivia as a heroine, okay, as someone to be emulated due to her dress, the way she handles her business. You know, she just, you know, she, quote, unquote, she got it going on, so to speak. But interestingly enough, her character is involved in an adulterous relationship with the president of the United States. So little clips where the president, you know, talked about possibly leaving his wife to be with her. But at the end of the day, we, if we're not careful, subconsciously we can draw this stuff in that, you know, to find your quote-unquote true love, it's okay to break any rules, any boundaries, as long as you can quote-unquote experience that love with that person. And that's kind of what Olivia is kind of into. I mean, you know, her and the president, you know, pretty much hot and hip. There's this vibe, this chemistry going on. But at the end of the day, if you really look at it, the woman is really an adulterous person and kind of a homewrecker. I mean, seriously. I mean, you think about it. I don't care how sleek and cool she was. If you're a married woman, you probably would not want a woman like Olivia coming in and saying, oh, you know, go ahead and sleep with your husband because we got a vibe. You know, we sync up. We got a chemistry. And I understand him. You don't really understand. You would want to hurt Olivia Pope. I'm just keeping it real for just a second. I know a lot of people, as soon as they heard that click, I'm not listening to that preacher. But that's really the true stuff. I mean, we have over the years through soap operas and, you know, mass media really made this whole thing about adultery to be okay. You know, you look at, like I say, anything you watch. I mean, I used to watch Survivor with my mom back in the day, One Life to Live when she was alive, One Life to Live, all them stories. They revolve usually around, you know, people having multiple partners. And you know, like I said, the media spins it as being okay because it says you found someone you love or someone who really understands you. So you break down and get caught up. But, I mean, the realities are, as a believer, and I'm thinking of believers for just a second, the Bible actually tells us to flee fornication, i.e. sexual immorality. It says to flee it. So you got to get out of Dodge. You got to leave it alone. Okay? Matter of fact, let me read 1 Thessalonians for you, chapter 4, verses 3 through 8. And for those of you just turned in, you're listening, tuned in, listening to the Clarion Call, I'm Minister Jonathan Simmons, your host, and we're broadcasting to you here again just south of Atlanta, Georgia. And we thank those of you who are tuning in to the broadcast live, the broadcast on Sunday night on Blog Talk Radio, or for those of you listening to the rebroadcast in the Atlanta area on AM 1570, WIGO, Atlanta's Incredible Radio. Let's get back to the scripture reference. 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter, verses 3 through 8. It says, for this is, I'm reading out a New American Standard Bible for, you know, the easier digesting of the word. It said, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that means being set apart, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. And in the King James, it would say abstain from fornication. that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who don't know God, and that no man transgress or defraud his brother in the matter, for the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as we told you before and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. So he that rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Okay, getting back to the reason that prompted me to do this show, Book Friends. Now, I'm not going to name this particular Facebook friend because she did not give me permission, nor did I query her or indicate that the show was going to be on and use her topic. Now, I'm going to post it on Facebook. I will mention it to her. Hopefully, she will not, you know, lambast me into dreamland. But I'm going to try to pull up her her post right here and just kind of read what she said. Now, she has thousands of Facebook friends, too, so this is, you know, pretty much public out there. But this is what she wrote. She wrote something to the effect of, let me see if I can find it here. I'm just going to scroll down here. But and the reason why I'm reading this again is because this is something that I'm hearing, not necessarily in such a blunt terms, but I've heard this before from in the Lord, okay? So this is the situation here. Let me just scroll this up. I got to scroll down because she posts quite a bit. But it was really a very blunt edge and very strong thing that she said, someone said to her, which I was like, and I wasn't taken aback, sadly, because, again, I've heard this type of thing before where people have said, you know, things that were really terribly inappropriate to one another. And like I said, especially with men saying things inappropriate to women. So it's really not a good thing. Basically, you know, I'm having some problems finding it because, like I said, again, she does a lot of posting. But basically what it said was, is she said that a quote-unquote person who was in ministry, someone who allegedly was, you know, quote-unquote highly favored, highly anointed, had all these letters and degrees around their name, basically asked her, and didn't really know her that way. Really, you would only want to ask this from your wife. But basically said to her, what is your favorite sexual position? Okay. Now, like I said again, believe it or not, I'm hearing this kind of stuff going on left and right in the body of Christ, this kind of nonsense, this type of what I call provocative behavior. And really, it's something that we have to be aware of and have to be cognizant of. We want to be so quick to point the finger outside and point it at the unbelievers and people outside of the church, but I'm telling you that we have a real problem right here amongst the quote-unquote so-called saints of God. And so if we don't open our eyes, not only to people in authority, because that's why I talk about the power, where many people have used the power of the pulpit, the power of their gift to seduce people. And now the seduction is going and dealing with both men and women. So we need to be on guard for these things. We need to be on guard for this type of behavior. And not only that, but we need to be on guard about our own situation. You say, brother, what do you mean? One of the things I think that we don't do a good job of, and maybe I'm just, you know, calling myself out, is that sometimes we are not mindful of ourselves. You know, Paul talks about that we should examine ourselves and judge ourselves, lest God has to judge us. Paul also talks about in the scriptures about, Lord, help me to continue to go forward here at this point and to continue to bring to my remembrance of those things which I've read. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord, amen. If we read in the scriptures it talks about the sin that so easily besets us, letting you know that sin is not something that is, it's not something that somehow is strange or odd. It's not something that, you know, comes to you and out of the blue, nor is it something hard or something that is unpleasant. But it says it's easy. It says the sin that so easily besets us, the sin that creeps in on us when we're least aware. And what I say that to is that I think that we all need to do a better job of monitoring the infamous pheromone assault. Okay. When, in essence, our own drive, unbeknownst to us, has stirred up our pheromones. Now, the pheromones actually will attract the opposite sex. Now, I know when I think that these pheromones, well, actually, not only they attract the opposite sex, but you're all, you know, in the full hunt and sense that these things are coming upon me, and it took me a while to understand what was going on. But when I see these things, there are times when I stay in the house. People say, hey, go out. Nope, I'm going nowhere. And the reason why is I know that if I get out in the public, if I get out in the street, nothing good is going to happen. Okay? I'm going to have a situation where I might not be able to contain my vessel. Now, just keeping it real, a lot of people don't want to admit this. They think, oh, no, I'm never tempted that much. Well, praise the Lord. You have moved to a spiritual maturity where you've done what the Bible has told us, which that we have to crucify our flesh. We are now crucified in Christ, buried with him, and that the new man now is here. So we have to crucify the lust of the flesh the way he was crucified on the cross. Okay, so that's what we're all trying to get to and try to go to. But in the interim, it's it's a rough situation. You have to be honest with yourself. And then the other thing, too, is sometimes you need other believers to assist you. That's why the scripture says confessing our sins one to another. Okay, what do you mean by that? What I'm telling you is that there are times when you have a situation where you feel this hormonal rage come upon you, when you want to go out to go on a search and seizure mission, that, you know, maybe you have someone you can call and say, brother minister, talking brother to brother now, man to man, I'm about ready to try to close on a situation. I'm about ready to holler and look to see who I could maybe bring home to help me make it through the night. Got to be real. And there needs to be someone on the other line that you can trust that will bring you the scriptures, a prayer, maybe bring you a little splash of cold water in your face, like, step out of it. But not somebody who says, oh, I'm ready to roll out with you. So this is all I'm saying, that these are the types of things that will come upon us. The other thing, too, is that dealing with the power aspect, I'm seeing again in the church, I'm reading here now online, at the Catholic Church. Remember, they have a brand new pope that's coming out of Latin America. It came out of Latin America. It says now that there is a huge sex scandal in his homeland. I'm going to read this article that I'm reading here on worldnews.nbcnews.com. This is what it says: Catholic Church wavers on child sex scandals in Pope's homeland. Okay? This is what the headline says. Pope Francis' promise of a more humble, tolerant Catholic Church may have earned rave reviews around the world. In Latin America, a string of child sex scandals has left some wondering what's really changed in the Vatican. It says that there were landmark gestures such as dressing simply, publicly kissing followers' feet, and refusing to condemn gays. Francis has also vowed to punish pedophile priests. Yet 7 months into the papacy, the church's questionable handling of a child molestation cases in Argentina, Chile, the Dominican Republic, and Peru is calling that commitment into doubt. No coincidence that the scandals have occurred in Latin America, the world's most Catholic region, given the influence wielded here by an often conservative clergy. In the Dominican Republic, for example, the Vatican's envoy, so this is a guy who's an envoy from the Vatican, Josef Wazlowski, was secretly fired in August for allegedly paying underage boys for sex. In Peru, an auxiliary bishop, Gabino Miranda, has been on the run for more than a month since child sex allegations surfaced. He is alleged to have had selected his victims during confession. And I don't want to just point out the Catholics, okay? Let me not go there because someone has stated here, let me just pull this article up, which is very, very interesting, talking about evangelicals. That would be us. Those are, you know, Holy Ghost folk. Those folk that say we got the anointment. Excuse me, the anointing on us. There is a problem that nobody wants to deal with that's going on right now. We certainly have heard, again, of countless number of women who have been defrauded in ministry. We have heard about this in all types of places. We've heard about it at the late Bishop Paul's church, how he had been having sex with several members, even wives of his own associate ministers. We have seen and heard of the Wings of Faith, where a minister that had once been there had passed along, sexually transmitted diseases. And certainly, many of those of you who are listening to this broadcast right now know of women and know of some young men who have been enticed into sexual misconduct by men and women, who are quote-unquote in ministry. But I'm going to tell you, this is dangerous, because God is watching us, okay? He is watching us. Remember when I read in 1 Thessalonians, it said that let no man defraud his brother in this matter. What that means is let no man or woman entice his brother or sister moral behavior. It says because God is going to be the judge of that. This is what it says in Jude 1 and 7. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they, in the same way as these, indulge in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, from homosexuality, bestiality, pedophilia, and are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Look, man, we don't want to put ourselves in a position where we have now gone so far off the left field and being quote-unquote tolerant that we continue to let this type of bad behavior go on in our churches and even in our homes. Okay, we have to really start to guard ourselves. One of the things I said when I made a comment on my sister's quotation about this very crude comment that she had heard, I said, you know, it's got to a point now where we've allowed ministers, people, you know, in our churches to really now to the point of being emboldened to do all types of things because there's no type of accountability. There's so many, you know, denominations, non-denominations, where people are not accountable to anybody. And because of the amount of money that many churches are generating, they've become like the world, like the government. Pull off, hush money, be quiet. How many sisters? Now, this has been going on for a minute, but it's now rampant because so much money is involved. People have power to make people be quiet, to bully people. Even churches have fixers, believe it or not. So, anyway, my time is up here. I hope really that we were able to be a blessing to someone somehow. I think that we all need to pray for one another. I think that many of us need to be more seriously pursuing marriage. I know many people listening to this who are in their 20s and 30s and 40s saying, listen, especially women, I got a career. God can't understand me. I don't want anybody to hold me back. I'm independent. Well, here's the bottom line. Don't let your independence run you into a world of sin that you can't get out of, because there's many women that I have come across, heard about, that have put themselves into actually precarious positions because their unwillingness to marry left them exposed to seduction and tyranny, where they found themselves involved in a relationship where they were beaten, where they were bullied, and in many cases where they were swindled, embarrassed, because now their sex drive had been met by an imposter, by someone who was not their husband. I've seen men be in situations where they've been on the run because women who they have inappropriately planted their seed, now the woman is looking now for him for more than that. And when he doesn't give her more than that, he finds his car keyed up. He could be in a situation where the woman starts to be, you know, harassing him or more. Now you say, oh, brother, I could get that when I'm married. But here's what I'm trying to tell you, and this is why I'm seeking this for myself. I believe that at some point we have to trust God, and then we have to take sound counsel. There are a lot of people out there divorced. There are a lot of people spinning stories about, you know, you got to be friends first and how bad things were and how they rushed into things. Listen to me very carefully, folks. A lot of times if you really back check, a lot of these people have these bad stories. People told them along the way, hey, this guy is not what he appears to be. This woman is not what he appears to be. But because their lust had consumed them, picture, if you take the sex component out, if you take the lust out, there's really nothing that you two are hitting on. But because we refuse to actively seek God and we refuse to really look beyond just the physical. I'm saying us guys, we do it all the time. But look beyond the physical, look beyond just a paycheck or a status in life. We oftentimes put ourselves again in jeopardy for the adversary to attack us in this area of weakness. And then the other thing is many of us get caught up in a, what we like to say, a church of personality. And that's where a lot of times women especially get caught up and find themselves in, you know, sexual misconduct because they're attracted to the man in the pulpit and not the Jesus they're supposed to be preaching and teaching about. They get caught up with the power of the pulpit, the majesty, the confidence, and that even sometimes the anointing, that it becomes really almost like an aphrodisiac. And we do it. And now we see as more women go into the pulpit, we see them suffering with the same problem. As many of them are single, or in many cases they're young, or even if they're not age-wise young, there's a vitality to them that becomes attractive to a man. And oftentimes a man who is younger, and many times a man who has some sensibility that she has been holding herself for a while without the affections of a male companion, and he preys on that. And now all of a sudden this woman, because she's uncovered and exposed, falls prey into this temptation. Well, like I said, I can go on all night about this subject. I only have a half an hour, but we will be bringing this on again in a future broadcast. And we're going to ask you all, for those of you who have stories to tell, you might even have testimonies on how the Lord has delivered you out of a, you know, a sexually immoral situation. Please give us a call on the show when it's on, or you can simply send us an email. The email address is wrtsfm@yahoo.com. You certainly go to our Facebook page, WRTSFM, and you can find us there. You can instant message me directly. I'm on Facebook, Minister Jonathan Simmons. We'd love to kind of come out and let's talk about this, because we need to get these kinds of things on the table and we need to be delivered. And that's the way we're going to end our show. We're going to seek the Lord. For those of you who are listening to this and saying, well, man, I don't even want to get involved in a church if it's like that, forget all that stuff, because Jesus is the answer. These people have done these things. Many of them claim that they know him, but they really do not, because their actions show that. Because if these people do these things and there's no repentance, there's no coming to God, however it may be, cheerfully, humbly, saying, God, deliver me from this. If this is just a situation where people are running, then they are not of God. So I'm telling you, Jesus is not an abuser. Jesus is not a person who will take advantage of you. He instead loves you, and he wants to strengthen those places where you are weak. He wants to heal those places that are in pain. He wants to fix those places that are broken. But he cannot do it until you accept him in your life. And the step is very, very simple. Repent of your sins. In other words, all the things you've done before, admit to God that I was wrong, you're right. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe that he's been raised from the dead. And if you believe that in your heart and confess that with your mouth, the Bible says you're saved. Doesn't say to do anything else. So if that's you, ma'am, you, sir, whoever's listening, I implore you, I ask you to please come to Jesus, because he loves you. And if there's someone out here that's listening to this that has been hurt, what we call church hurt, you might have been abused by someone who's a quote-unquote a Christian, I say come to Jesus and let him heal you of that broken place. And if you do, you will find a love that you never would have dreamed you have had. Well, on behalf of myself, all the people at WIGO, and for WRTS-FM Radio and the Clarion Call broadcast. I say God bless you and good night.
I believe that you're right.